Welcome to the Subscribe to Change recording of the online ACMC Revisited training, teaching you the art of meta-coaching.
Good morning, everyone. Great to have you on the call this morning, and afternoon and evening. Today is ACMC Revisited, and what we're going to do, the setup for today, is that we're going to start out with some questions. I've had some questions over the course of the week that people would like answered, which I think are great questions for everyone to know. And what we're going to be doing afterwards is we're going to go into breakout groups, so you're going to be put into groups of two, and then you will have the chance to do a coaching session and be coached on something that is going to take your coaching to the next level or any other topic that you would like to work on. So before I get started, I'm curious if there are any other questions out there for those of you who haven't emailed me. If you have any questions that you would like to ask, and then we can go over that this morning. So if you do have a question, please just press 1 on your keypad, and that lets me know that you're putting your hand up and I can open your mic. Okay, so I don't see any questions coming up. If you do have any questions as I'm talking, then please just let me know. Just press 1 on your keypad. And I'll get to you once I have the right moment. So this morning I'd like to start with a question of how it is that I create a blank, like a template in my mind, and what it is that I specifically do. And so for those of you who are relatively new to the call, what I have in the back of my mind when I am coaching is I have a template. So I start out with a picture on the right side of my visual space in front of me. And that has the present state on the left with all of the, like the VAK, so like the, you know, all of the details so that I can see the movie of what is someone doing, what do they hold in the back of their mind in the present state. And then I also have the desired state, do the same thing, and there's a gap between those. So with that gap, what I look at when I... when that gap is there, okay, I need to kind of break that into smaller steps. Are the steps small enough? And then what I hold in the back of my mind is what is the difference that is going to make the difference? So that is a question that I hold in the back of my mind to bridge that gap between present state and desired state. And so in this picture, I also have with the present state, on top, I'm like, is this painful enough? And then the desired state, is this compelling enough? And then has there been made a decision? And that's all part of the axis of change. So I have that template, and that template is completely empty. So it needs to be filled in with information. And so I had that question of, so how do you make it completely blank so that it's not anything that you're putting in? And so I think what I really put a lot of thought into this week, and it's sometimes challenging to kind of be really aware of the specifics and what you know, kind of modeling yourself. But one of the things that for me really struck me that came up actually in a conversation is that I don't hold the client's agenda. And I think that that is where a lot of coaches kind of slip up, is because they feel responsible for the client getting an outcome. And when you buy into that, when you make yourself responsible for your client getting an outcome, it actually stops you from, well, then you're the one who starts working. So you're the one who starts deciding on an outcome, thinking you know the outcome already. So this is really where the difference between responsibility 2 and 4 comes into play. So your client is responsible for getting their outcome. What you do is you create awareness so that they can start seeing their own patterns and how that relates to the outcome so that you get them to choice point and they can make a decision. That's all theirs. And so that for me is something that I really hold high and in the back of my mind, that difference between responsibility 2 and 4. So that's a start where, you know, as I go in, and when you go into your coaching sessions, you might think of, okay, how, like, do I have that really clear? So that picture that I have in my mind, that template, it's not mine. It's my client's, so that's really anchored for me. It's not mine. And another thing that I hold, another thing that I do is that I ask, can I see the movie? So what I want is when I hear a word that is relating to either the present state or the desired state, I want to be able to see the movie. So if someone talks to me about differentiating, yesterday I had a coaching client and she wanted to differentiate something. Well, I can't make a picture of that unless I start doing it myself and filling it in myself. So, but because it's all hers, I have to ask her, what specifically do you mean with differentiating? How do I visualize that? Is that something that you, like, what kind of thoughts do you have? So that I can see it, but I can also step into it. So the main thing is to really have a clear distinction between responsibility 2 and 4, and then asking yourself in the back of your mind, can I see the movie? If I can't see the movie, I have to ask a question about that. And that's where you start naturally asking questions of specificity. And so I also ask, is this grounded in a specific enough situation? Do I know the trigger? Do I know when specifically it happened, when it does happen, doesn't happen? So with regards to how I create that template that is completely empty, that would be my answer. But let's do some questions. Like, what kind of questions do you have? And you can just press 1 on your keypad. What kind of questions do you have with regards to this? So Janine, I see that you have a question.
Yes.
Hi.
My question is, when you're making the movie, are you seeing the people? Or are you seeing words? I'm not clear on what your movie looks like of the when you make it a make the client's movie.
Yeah. So I see. I've already asked, like, okay, are there any pictures that you're seeing? So I see my client, and so I want to know kind of like who else is there? Who are you talking to? What is it that you're hearing? So I'm mapping out all of that information, and then when it comes to anything that is being said externally, I hear that. So I see and hear that when it comes to the things that someone holds in the back of their mind. I have to think about that. If it's words, I think it's words. And then at the same time, that's where I start to associate. So I also try it on. So what does it feel for me? And that's how I remember it. So one of the things for me that I have is because I see it, and I can and I log it kinesthetically as well. So I see it and then I try it on, and that's how I can also remember the sequence of what someone said. So one of my strengths is that I can feed back something that has been said, like maybe in the beginning, because that's how I've logged it. So I don't have to take notes. I've actually written it out above the present state in my mind, and then I also tried it on of what that feels like. And that also allows me to kind of comment, because sometimes someone says something and I try that on and I'm like, wow, that must be really tiring. Something like that, so that you know, so that you are supporting them and you're letting them know that you're listening. And then, you know, so I say, when I try that on, like I feel really tired. And a lot of the time, because I've mapped it out and because it's their visual, they go like, oh, yes, exactly. So you kind of let them know that you've heard them. So did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It's. Can I ask one more question in relation to that?
Absolutely.
I'm curious, do you know of coaches who have not had that natural ability to visualize and step in? Have they been able to develop that, or did they maybe work out a different strategy that's also effective? I'm asking because I don't have such a strong visual ability to make movies like that. So Would you recommend that I start developing that, or would it be maybe more useful just to come up with something, a different strategy that might work for me as a coach?
Okay. That's a great question. I haven't really run into coaches who don't like who find visualizing challenging. I know that it becomes more difficult when you're really kinesthetic, because that then it becomes very difficult to really remember words and sequences and things like that. So I think ultimately, because I use all of my senses, I think it would be a good thing to stretch. And the reason why I say that is not only for the picture, but it is also to be aware of where your client is. So for me, one of the things that is really critical is to have great flexibility over your meta programs or in your meta programs, so that you can transcend them, because that allows you in a coaching session to be a lot cleaner and also to hear what someone is deleting. Because if you are deleting something, so if you're deleting visuals, for example, because that's your natural style, then you're not going to hear it in your client, and then you're going to miss information. For that sake, I would suggest to really kind of start stretching your meta program and to incorporate also the visual so that you can transcend it. With regards to finding a strategy, I would not say that this is the ultimate strategy that you have to, that's the only thing that works. So if for you would like to kind of experiment with that, I would say go ahead, because And then maybe what you want to do is kind of figure out, okay, so what are all the qualities of doing that, or what is it that I need? What will it give me when I create a strategy like that? So better memory, maybe, so that you can feed it back more, staying cleaner, so that you really follow the energy of the client and the client's words, so that you, you know, so that you're not filling in anything. Ability to ask a lot of clarity questions. So if you have all of those distinctions, then you can start asking yourself, like, okay, what is my strategy for memorizing something really well? How do I do that? So, how would I, you know, inform about specificity? How would I do that? So I definitely would suggest kind of figuring out what works for you. One of the things is that your client is going to use visuals. They do see pictures. And so being able to kind of see that movie does help a lot with knowing where they are at. So, you know, it's not just a movie, it's also the audio, and then it's also being able to step into it. So I'm using all modalities in that moment.
Yes, thank you. That's a great explanation.
Okay, great. Thank you, Janine. So any other questions? Okay, Kristen.
Hi, Femke. Thanks to you. Hi. Thanks for a really, really good explanation so far, and all the questions gives me a lot of good information. So I'm kind of curious. This blank template you keep in your mind. Where is it? Do you see it in front of you, outside, behind the client? How? Where is it?
I have it on my right side, a little bit higher. Like, I can touch it with my hand. So if I reach up with my hand, I can kind of touch it.
Okay.
And so it's, like, it is actually in 3D, kind of, so it has some depth, not too much, but it isn't too big. So I would say, like, maybe it's like 2 feet, which is about like half a meter wide. So it's not, it really isn't that big.
Okay.
So, I feel like a link, like from my body, I have a link to that. So that I can also feel what's going on there. So, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Do you have any other questions? Okay. Hi, I think, is this Anne?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Great to have you on the call, Anne.
Yes. So this pin was perfect, you know. So I just want to say I'm here.
Oh, perfect. Great. I'm so glad you made it. So, because I haven't put your name in yet, so it didn't show your name, but I'll do that, so next time I'll know you're here. But great to have you here, Anne.
Thank you.
So for those of you who don't know Anne, Anne and I have had to work a little bit at so that she was able to join in on the call, so because she has limited vision, and you have to dial in the pin so fast that every time she would get the message of, okay, you can't, sorry, you've got the wrong pin. And so she was unable to get into the calls, which was very frustrating. And so we've worked at kind of, I think I created about 50 different pins so that finally we had one where the pins were, or the numbers were close enough together. So for us, it's a victory that she got in and she can join us now. So so great to have you, Anne. And so let's like see if there's any other questions about the template. Okay, so one other thing that I wanted to share, which kind of came up for me, was around coaching conversations. And I shared this with a client yesterday, and it really, she could really relate. So I thought maybe you can relate as well. So for the longest time, I wasn't really all that interested in the kinds of coaching conversations. And I think maybe it's only been for the past year and a half that I've really started to kind of look at, okay, what kind of coaching conversation are we going to have? And it was maybe 2 weeks ago that I all of a sudden discovered that I have this belief around the value of the different coaching conversations. So we have a decision making, we have coaching for change, we have exploration, we have clarity and planning and strategy. And so what I realized was that I felt like I was only adding value to someone, or it was only like I was only doing important stuff if I was doing a coaching conversation or a change conversation for change. And so naturally all like the majority of my conversations would go towards change conversations, and I wouldn't even kind of listen for, oh, maybe someone only needs to explore, or maybe someone really needs to make a decision. So that really didn't come up for me, because for me the only important conversation was change. And so being aware of that frame, now like I was able to open that up. And so when I was talking to one of my clients yesterday, and she said, well, she started talking about having to have a transformational conversation and really being focused on, okay, it has to be transformational. And that's my, you know, so she had a lot of responsibility there, but also that sense of, okay, you know, you have to do change, because that's why we're meta coaches. Well, sometimes someone is at a point where just exploring, or, you know, just getting clarity on something, that's the biggest step for them, and that's going to inspire a transformation for them. So I just wanted to share that so that you can check in with yourself. Hey, am I favoring certain conversations over others? Am I deleting some conversations altogether because to me they're meaningless, or you know, or just not as interesting? So and it's the same with meta programs. It's going to stop you from really listening for what your client needs. And so I had that awareness maybe 2 weeks ago, and it gave me a good chuckle that's because it's holding me, like it was holding me back in my coaching conversations. And so now I feel like, hey, you know, I can really start to listen for the distinctions of what my client needs. And after all, this really is about what is the difference that's going to make the difference. If it is clarity, that's what we need to do. And then that's, you know, so that gets us to a KPI far quicker down the well-formed outcome funnel Because if you hear it, oh, is that what you need? Clarity. Yes. Okay, so then you can go down the wellfirm.com funnel. So I just wanted to share that. Any questions around that? Okay. So I don't see any hands coming up. We have 5 people on the call today, and so that means that we're going to go into two groups, one group of 3 and one group of 2, and we're going to do 2 coaching sessions of 20 minutes. And so we've got 20 minutes, and then we've got 10 minutes feedback. And so in the group of 3, and I will let you know who's in the group of 3, I would like one of you to do the benchmarking, and then change. So it really is kind of like the way that we do it at the ACMC training. If you feel more comfortable with just doing the first 2 or just the first 3 skills, then feel free to do that. And so I will be listening in on the other group. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to create the breakout group. Okay, so now you're all into breakout groups. Jeanette, Janine, and Anne, you are together. The 3 of you, and then Kristen and Dirk, you are in the other group, and I will be listening in on you. What I'm going to do right now is to put you on a local mic so that you can hear each other in the group, and I'll give you like a minute to catch up and talk to each other, and then actually, I'll give you 2 minutes, and then 2 minutes from now, I will let you know that the coaching session is started. So please choose who's going to coach first and who's going to be coached, and for the group of 3, who is going to do the benchmarking. So before we start, are there any questions? Okay, so I don't see any hands coming up. I'll give you 2 minutes, and in 2 minutes you can get started. I'll let you know. Okay, everyone, time is up, so please wrap up your conversation. What we're going to be doing is we're going to go back into the group, and based on the coaching conversations that you've had, we'll take some time to do questions, and then we will wrap up. Okay, so I'm going to bring you back into the main room. Okay, so now you're all back into the main room. So, if you have a question, please just press 1 on your keypad so that you put your hand up and I can open your mic. And it may also be something that you just want to share, an insight that you think would be valuable for others to hear as well. Okay, so I don't see any hands coming up. One thing that I would like to share, based on the coaching conversations that I've listened in on, is that the importance of getting a trigger. And so, with trigger, I mean, okay, what is the specific context that that triggers this state that someone's in? Or specific situation. And so a while back I was coaching someone and she was talking about lack of confidence in her sales conversation. And so then you might think, oh, you know, the sales conversation, that's where it happens. But actually, when we got into more of the specifics, it turned out that her confidence dropped when someone asked her, how much is a coaching program? How much does it cost? That was the specific moment that her state changed. And she wasn't aware of that. For her, it was the entire sales conversation. And so making that distinction allows you to also kind of go, okay, so right now with this trigger, when you think of this or when you have this picture, that's where you go to, that's where your confidence level drops to 2 and you don't know what to say. So then you want to map that out, but you have a test, which is already kind of it makes it much easier to at the end then go, okay, so this is your KPI. If you, right now you can't keep your confidence level up when you think of someone asking you about the price. No. Okay, so if you can keep your confidence level at a level 8 at the end of the session, when you think of someone asking you about the price, that is going to be the outcome that you want. Yes, that's how we're going to test it. Yes, okay. So that's why the beginning of your well-formed outcome funnel is all about getting that clear and refining that and really getting into the specifics of that. Then you have the checks of, okay, what do we need to work on? What is the difference that's going to make the difference? Is this, like, what kind of coaching conversation is this going to be? That's why you ask, do you know what to do? Can you do this? Have you done this before? And you combine that with meta questions and exploring questions so that you can really figure out what is it that needs to be done. And then the last questions are all about checking, okay, do we have a decision? Is it still compelling? Is this ecological to do refining? And then you can get your KPI. So that's why in the beginning it's really critical to have your VAK and to have clarity on that, which is more challenging when someone is very global, but really give yourself permission to stick with that. So that's something that I wanted to share. Acknowledgements allow you, that's something that came up as well. When you acknowledge, I use acknowledgements to give me information of, okay, does this fit with the outcome or does it not? So as I acknowledge, I'm trying to fit it into my template. If it doesn't fit, I can ask, how does this relate to the outcome that you want? Or I can ask something when there's an incongruence or, you know, something more specific. So, like, how does that work? So if someone says, states like certain conditions under which they can or can't do something, then I want to know more about that. So acknowledging and feeding that back lets me know, oh, I need to know more. I need to know more because I can't fit it into my picture just yet. So those are the things that I just wanted to share. Tomorrow we are going to have another Accessing Personal Genius or coaching genius session, which is actually going to be on the power zone and responsibility 2 and 4. So I look forward to having you on the call if you're joining in. And otherwise, next week there's going to be another call on Tuesday again. So I look forward to having you on the call then. Meantime, if you have any questions, just let me know and I can address those next week. All right. Have a great day or evening, and I look forward to having you on the call again soon. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Subscribe to Change audio recording. With love and kindness, Femke Stute.